go. So what is today? This is Tom Heck. It's March 7th, 10 p.m. Eastern, and on the call tonight, so far, is Susan, you're in Charleston, South Carolina, if memory
right,
serves me,
right.
And Sarah from Texas, and Helen from Australia, and I live in North Carolina. So tonight we're going to be talking about, I suspect mostly, step four, which is Nevelize Your Goal, and then next week is our fifth and final call with step five, and then looking at some of the other key points that Joe brings up. So with that, not that we have to start right in on this chapter, but I have had a chance to go through and highlight a few points of this chapter, and so I'm just going to put it out there as what is it that, I guess, obviously nevelizing the goal it seems critical, as it seems like all the points are critical. But what did you guys get out of this? What are some of the insights, maybe beyond just the feeling part?
Actually, I had a thought when I read this.
Yes.
That I liked a lot. I liked it for a reason. I don't think Joe probably may have intended. But I remember reading about neurolinguistic programming years ago, NLP.
Yeah.
And about how some people experience the world primarily through their feelings, some through the visual and some through audio. And I thought, you know, this is kind of perfect because too many people are into visualization. And the problem is some of us are not primarily visual people. So just visualizing something is not going to be enough to make the goal happen for us because we can't connect to it. I'm speaking as somebody who's very audio, okay? Mm-hmm. So visualizing anything just didn't do it for me. But when I got to the point where I had to feel everything and I had to sort of try on the experience, that made so much sense to me, and it made it so much more real than just visualizing had ever done for me. It really made a huge difference, even the first time I tried it. And I remember being very stunned at that.
So Susan, when you feel this, I've been, the way I go about feeling this, I'll share how I do that when I feel my goals, but I'm curious how you do it, and maybe the others on the call, if you have a strategy or something that you is a habit for you, as you know, in your process of doing this.
I think it depends on what it is I'm trying to do. I know that when we did the first 30-day intention for money, which I must admit I did not follow through on as much as I would have liked to, but when I was doing it, what I did was I would sit, and the thing that came to me in every single one of the times that I sat and tried to do it was I would see myself, feel myself sitting in front of the computer looking at my bank balance online, which I do very frequently, and I would see the extra $10,000 in my bank account. Now, I don't know how much good that did, because the $10,000, whatever it was I was asking for, I think it was 10, didn't come to me during that month, but strangely enough, my income and my family income has picked up so much in the last 6 months, which is about 5-6 months after we've actually done this. I don't know if it's coincidence or not, and I don't believe in coincidence, but I will tell you that did make a difference. But that appeared to be the only thing I could sort of consistently bring up. I don't think I had like a lot of different visions. I had like one, and I kind of stuck to it. Do other people do it differently, or how do you guys do it?
Susan, I have to agree with you when it comes down to the whole issue around visualizing isn't enough.
Mm-hmm.
I can see it. I can put it in front of me. I can see it. But I have to have something a little bit more tangible. And so a friend of mine gave me a list of words, feeling words.
Okay.
And when I got to that part of the chapter where it says, you know, how Joe just has you kind of break down the peeling of the onion as you write something that's around something you want to create. And then when he says, you know, what does it feel like? What does it taste like? What does it sound like? Well, you know, all the senses. I thought, well, that's really an interesting concept. So what I did was I wrote it on a really big piece of paper and I put it in front of me. And then I just stood there and looked at it. And once I did that, then I just agreed to experience it. And
ooh,
found that I wasn't really clear enough for me to experience it, so I had to sit back down and rewrite it. But I had to put it on a piece of paper and put it in front of me and go, well, that's all well and good, but you know what? The shoe's a little tight.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just sat back down and said, what would it feel like if I really talked about the joy that it would bring me, the outrageousness it would bring me, the number of people I would affect if that came into fruition? And when I shifted and experienced the impact even paying one bill would have on the number of people I touched by paying that, then my goal was an emotion. I could really feel that.
Wow.
Sarah, you just reminded me of, I was in a workshop once where the leader asked us to write down all of the feelings that we feel during a week. And you know what was really interesting about it was that, myself included, virtually everybody had a pretty small list. In other words, what he was getting at was that we actually feel a lot of different things during the course of the week, but I was not in tune with those feelings. And when you said the list of feeling words that your friend gave you, it reminded me of that, because that's what we ended up getting. And, you know, to sit down and really, you know, beyond happy and sad, you know, mm-hmm. or but contemplative, or you know, there's just so many different feelings that I go through during the course of the week. During, you know, during the course of a day, especially with two kids, you know. And I don't, you know, even now hearing you makes me go, God, you know, am I really sensitized to paying attention to that? And what if I was? If I thought, oh, you know, if someone just stopped me and said, hey, Tom, how are you feeling? Would I be able to put language to it? And I think that there's something to be said to being able to put language to what we're feeling, which is what, you know, Joe talks about here. And you know, in the scripting page on page 139, write your future, is mm-hmm. you know, writing out a script. What that requires is you know, he says, act like you're a movie director. You know, a movie director or someone writing a screenplay wouldn't just have, you know, like five feelings that are felt throughout, you know, they would have to help the actor really get into it. And they'd have to have a whole list of feelings so that the actor can go, oh, yes, you know, that there is a feeling I can really, you know, that one's different than grateful. It is different than happy, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know, I just thought I'd throw that out, that as you described that, I thought, because I haven't written my a script, and now I'm inspired to do that.
Well, I think it's interesting, because I think what interested me about what Sarah said is that the minute she began to feel personally connected to all the people who were going to be affected by what she did, it suddenly made the whole vision real to her.
Mm-hmm.
As opposed to, isn't it? Did I get that right? Is that what you said, Sarah?
Yeah.
Okay. That, I got to tell you, has struck me like a sledgehammer. I'm really stunned by that, and I find that incredibly interesting. And I'd like to, I'm not sure how much more you can say about that, or whether you can maybe go a little further, but I'd like to really hear more about that, if you can feel like you can say something.
Well, much like all the rest of us, you know, my spiritual purpose is to touch a lot of lives.
Mm-hmm.
But where I've shifted, where I believe I need to function every single day, is to really release myself from thinking I need to be listing and controlling and designing and allowing God to direct me, first off.
Okay.
The
mm-hmm.
second part was, if I truly allowed myself to surrender, let God direct me, what would be the ultimate result? That every person I touched, God had me touch. And
just what was
the expansive thought of that was like, oh, that's cool. I like that. And then all of a sudden, he said to me, so do you ever really get how many, because I'm so passionate about kids, do you ever get how effective you are with every penny you pick up and every penny you pay and every penny you give away? How many children do you touch by feeding a family?
Wow. Mm.
Or by keeping a business open?
That is very powerful stuff.
Or maybe just rescuing a family that desperately needs money so that somebody else can tithe. You know, whatever. Do you ever stop for one moment and get the impact that you have? So when I sit down to write what I really want to create in the week, I say, I prayerfully continue to attract. And then I put in there what I want to really create for that week. Because when I started shifting, when I read The Attractor Factor, and then I've continued to read so much of Joe's books and so much of the resources that Joe gives us, is to continually be reminded how really great we are connected. But more importantly, by just acknowledging even the smallest amount of the difference I make. And then when you drop that pebble in the water, all the ripples are all the people I affect. So if I brace my day for that kind of essence, then my visualization is different. Then I can feel it. I can see the effect.
I'm very struck by the fact that it's almost impossible for you to have the thoughts that you've been describing to us without understanding how powerful you are. And I'm wondering if this is not affecting all the nebulizing and the results that you're getting. What do you think?
I don't know. You give me feedback.
At this moment, I haven't got a lot, except that I'm stunned. I'm very impressed.
Well, can I say something?
Please,
absolutely.
Yes.
Please, speak up. So, Susan, you know how you told me I was a babe in the woods with wanting to walk on the moon?
Absolutely. Compared to John Glenn, you are.
But I'm a babe in the woods with this. This is just the beginning.
Of course it is.
I don't know what else to say.
Most of the rest of us don't either. We're making this up as we go.
Yeah.
It's exciting stuff, isn't it?
For 4.5 years, I have literally said I cannot feel the feelings.
And now?
And now, today, I have a foundation to build on.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing else. The only feelings I can honestly say I felt and was conscious of feeling them was the feeling of lightness both mentally and physically this week.
How big a relief was that?
Oh, amazing. Absolutely amazing.
Wow.
I honestly have to go back and start at the beginning, and today is the foundation of that.
Do you mean with this call, with the stuff we're talking about?
Well, what Sarah has just, her way of putting this, is just the foundation to build on.
See, Sarah, you just touched another life.
Thank you very much.
Well, this is Tom. One of the things that I do is I have this little rebounder, small trampoline, and I like to jump on it and feel what it feels like having that. You know, just and I'm not. It's not a lot. You know, big high bounces. It's just, you know, simple bounces I'm a believer in the whole idea of rebounding anyway, you know, at a cellular level as far as exercise. And then, my theory is that if I'm exercising in that way and getting that those feelings, those strong feelings about what it is that I'm choosing to create, that it's a fun way for me to do that. And I've also, I don't know if you all have done this, but I've set my watch to go off every hour. And on some days I'll do that. I'll just set my watch, get up, go bounce a little bit, and feel what it feels like to be experiencing what it is that I'm working on, and then stop. You know, so that'll, you know, take me a couple minutes, and then just go back to work. Just kind of a fun way to do that.
I think that's very cool.
Yeah, interesting too.
Well, it's using your body for your whole, to kind of connect to you spiritually, which most of us, we're not very connected these days with our bodies, are we? Little kids are. We're not.
Yeah. Well, you know, I've heard of people walking, you know, as they do their power walk or whatever, as they get into that mantra. I have a friend who does that, you know, or when he's running. You know, that's when he's working through the things that he's... I keep going back to the word visualization, but feeling, nevelizing what it is that he's choosing to create. So that's his time. So mm-hmm. it's a very physical, you know, get up, run around, you know, get that emotion going, rather than sitting passively, which is, I also do that. Oh. That's how I start my day, but it's mm-hmm. a different feeling.
Makes sense.
Yeah. So I'm curious about the another section of this book, the not just the scripting, but the how has anybody here had the experience of doing blessings or feel, I call them blessings, but over your work that you're writing and sending out to the rest of the world, which is mentioned on page 143. It's under the headline of advertising works. And the whole conversation that he had with Jerry and Esther Hicks. And, you know, Esther Hicks says, it doesn't matter what you put in the ad, people will sense who you are and what you are offering and make a decision from that feeling. And I'm curious about other people's experience there. Has anybody, just worked on the feeling, getting the feeling across? From writing something of that nature, an ad or some other kind of thing that goes out into the world.
I was going to say not with an ad, but with what I've been writing, especially recently, especially since The Attractor Factor, my writing has more power, and I think it's more connected spiritually to what I believe. That part of me that was cut off before is sort of in full play now, and it seems like one of the things that's really important to me is to constantly add stuff about the law of attraction and how we can use it and how it can help us all to become more powerful and to sort of grow into who we really are.
Mm-hmm.
So that's been going on, but I don't think in terms of the way Esther has described it in the book, as I recall, was really it's sort of just putting it out there with the intention of reaching someone who will see your essence, and I can't come up with a time when I've actually done that.
Yeah, I do that with emails and my e-newsletter. You know, before I send it out, I feel what it feels like for the recipient to get that. And put that energy into that, and have done that also with other things like CDs and whatnot, other products. So, what do you all think about the how to go about? Feeling. Getting into this, what he calls nevelizing, on a regular basis. I've used my watch before, and it seems like that's like a huge key, is to feel that on a regular basis. Like Susan, you said you kept the 30-day aspect up for a period of time.
Right, and I really did consciously try to feel the feeling, and the thing that came up every single time was that vision of me staring at the computer screen and seeing that my bank balance had gone so far up overnight. And that was something that was important because I do look at the computer screen a lot, so it was extremely easy for me to bring up that image. But the problem was is when I started getting into other images and trying to kind of give myself some variety, I began to run into trouble because the image just wasn't that clear.
Yeah. And so did you stop altogether?
I did. It was my fault. I did stop. I listened to what everybody else said about, you know, their experiences and everything else, and I really felt like, you know, hey, you're the leader here. You should have been doing this. And there you are. Beat yourself up. But it's something that I think at this point I might be able to sort of try again, because the truth is that I think I'm a little bit more clear about what I need to do, even though I'd still like to hear what everybody else feels is the right thing and what's been working for them.
Yeah. So, Helen and Sarah, how are you? And did someone else join us, I guess, I think, during the call? Forgot to acknowledge them.
Hi, I'm running here from Malaysia.
From where?
Malaysia.
Malaysia, wow.
Wow.
Welcome.
Yeah. Thank you very much.
That's great to have you on the call.
Mm-hmm.
Gosh, we've
yeah,
got...
I've been trying to make it for the last class, but I always had some work commitments because it's during work hours. Finally managed to make it for this one.
Oh, that's what time
oh, that's
is it there?
Yeah.
What time?
Here?
Yes.
It's about 11:30 in the morning.
Yeah.
Wow. Wow.
Fantastic. Sneaking
that
off.
I didn't miss.
I love it. If you were an employee of mine, I would love it that you were on a call on the Attractor Factor.
Yes.
And then
I'm very lucky.
I'd want to know what you were talking about, and then being able
I'm,
to apply.
I'm very lucky. I have bosses that that recognize these things are actually in a reality.
Yeah.
And, yeah. They have no issues on this areas of my life.
So are you studying this book as part of your work?
I'm studying this book as part of my life direction.
Yeah, yeah.
Which includes work, yeah.
And so you discuss it at work?
Yes, some areas, yes.
Wow.
Wow.
Yeah, because like I said, I have been very lucky. I've been the last. I joined this company only about 2 years ago.
Yes.
And I reconnected with my regional director on a heart level. I think that really helps.
Yes.
Mm.
Well, this
is really inspiring.
It is inspiring.
Wow.
It is, because it took me a long while to get here.
Well, it's fantastic to have you. That's fantastic.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I think it's interesting that we've attracted the spectrum we have tonight.
It is.
Yeah, it's a good point.
Yeah.
Well, where were we? What were we? Oh, talking about
nebulizing.
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 On a constant, more constant basis rather than once every couple days. Like I wonder what it would be like to do it. You know, every day, several times a day, which has been my intention in the past, but I've not pulled it off.
I think Paul Byers' program, the Abundance Activator, that helps for me.
And describe that.
Here's a program that you can sort of like log in how often you want this to appear on your computer screen, so you actually stop yourself and do what you need to do or want to do or feel like doing, you know. So there are always one or two things that normally you want to attract. So I sort of like say my morning I will try and get in tune with this certain factor of my life, and in the afternoon that part of my life.
Mm.
I use it in that instance.
So you're saying that your computer is your computer that's reminding you to stop? You've set it up to do that?
So it's similar to your watch.
Yeah, it's similar. Yeah. You know, I came across a piece of software. I think it was called Coffee Break. There's many programs like it, but I think it's actually designed to require workers to get up, stand around, stretch so that you can reduce the risks of carpal tunnel syndrome and just other, you know, sitting on your rear end fatigue. And I thought, as soon as I saw that, I thought, oh, you know, that could keep me, act as a reminder to get up and nebulize my goals.
It's a good point. But the problem is I think that it comes down to more than software or anything else. It really comes down to us. Because let's face it, we're the ones who use the software or don't use it.
Right.
You know, and the problem really is that I think if you're going to nebulize several times a day, it's only my opinion, that if you're going to do it every day, it's almost impossible to do it unless you're doing it at a reasonably low level. Because to try to just, you know, completely shut out the world and the things that you have to do in order to nebulize at the level I was doing it, frankly, I don't know if I could do it a couple of times a day. I don't know if I could do it more than a few days at a time. But if you do it sort of, you know, for 10 or 15 minutes and just, you know, give yourself your ideal day break kind of thing, then it's more fun, it's less intense, and maybe that the cumulative effect of it is just as effective as, you know, doing it that 20-minute intense thing that Joe describes in the 30-day meditation for money.
Right. Well, you know, it's the we mentioned this last week is the whole thing of there was, you know, five frogs sitting on a fence, and two decide to jump off the fence. How many frogs are left? Type of thing. And when I first
the answer is five frogs because they didn't do it; they just decided to do it.
Exactly. Yeah. And I have a friend who I've been corresponding with and encouraging him to, you know, join this call. And he said he had read the book, and I said, "So, are you applying any of it?" He said, "No, but it was an interesting book." And I've been in the same place, which is one of the reasons I thought, "Okay, well, this will help me." These calls, it forces me to go back to the book rather than just look at it on my shelf.
Oh, that's true. And of course, then all of us tend to do what we all do, which is you go hunting for other things about it. I mean, I've probably read 30 books about the Law of Attraction since I read The Attractor Factor, which makes me very well read, but not necessarily, you know, doing what I need to be doing to accomplish what I want to accomplish.
Right.
And it's one of my weaknesses, and I'm sure I'm probably not the only one.
No, you're not, Susan. You're not.
Thank you.
Definitely be all in it.
And I think Joe even addressed that. I think that was in Chapter 2.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's where he addressed it, where if you continually keep looking for something, then are you listening to the original thing you read?
Mm-hmm.
And is what you're trying to do just continuing to look for it rather than actually find it and use it?
Well, you know, talking about it versus being in action.
Right.
Yeah. This is what I really want, but I'm not really willing to work for it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that's the Holy Grail sort of thing.
Well, it seems to me that looking for the Holy Grail is actually another thing that can be addressed in step three, really, if you think about it, because that's something you have to clear out. It's one of those beliefs you have to get rid of. I need to know more before I can blah, 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 blah.
Right.
And truthfully, that's a limiting belief, but we don't even realize it's a limiting belief because it looks like we're trying to expand our knowledge. I think that's very insidious, personally. Silence is deafening here.
I actually stopped buying books after there was a post on the Attractor Factor. Probably Al put it up. He puts most of the articles. it was an article that said, you know, when do you know whether you know, find one thing that works and work with it.
Right.
You remember what it was, Susan? I don't. But that
there are actually several people put stuff like that up at virtually the same time, and they were totally right. Find one or two things and work with those things, because it's the only way you're going to get anything accomplished.
I stopped buying books at that point in time and said, I have the Attractor Factor, and this is what I'm going to work through. It's taken
good
from then till now to pick it up again.
Well, you've been busy changing your life, so let's think about that. You have actually been following the steps. Even if you, I mean, reading the book is not one of the steps. Think about that. Really? And I'm sure Joe himself would say, listen, you're doing exactly what you need to be doing. You know, you're positioning yourself so differently.
Thank you.
Well, Sarah, I'm curious if you could sort of off the topic of this particular step of step four, nebulizing your goal. But perhaps I'm wondering if in your experiences with Joe in the live setting, has he addressed this topic and or something related to this very topic? Excuse me, that is not necessarily addressed in the book or offered you insights that you got in the live setting?
Actually, the very first time that I went to go hear him was really an opportunity to let him promote not only The Attractor Factor but some of the other books that he's written, but to just have a quiet time with Joe, you know, that kind of a setting.
Mm-hmm.
And it was at Unity Church, which in Wimberley, since maybe none of y'all have been to Wimberley, Texas, it is an absolutely gorgeous place.
Mm.
And the church itself is just wonderful, and it overlooks the hill country, and it's just a great setting. And so to be with Joe, because you're not in the presence of Joe, you're with Joe in the conversations that he has, is just to share the journey. I mean, that's really what he did. He shared the journey of the things that he learned and the things that he wanted to share and the thoughts that he wanted people to grasp from the things that he shared and from the experiences of those people that he placed in his life that could be mentors. And the opportunity that we had was towards the end of this day, we got to ask him whatever we wanted to ask him. But I thought what was unique was that it didn't make any difference what you asked him. His response made you always feel that you were the most important in the conversation, and that when he finished answering your question, you didn't feel that you were there for the first time. You know, you weren't coming to the well for the first time. He just had you really embrace wherever you were, so that when he finished the answer, you felt filled.
Wow.
And it was just a very natural conversation. He wasn't blowing smoke in anybody's ear. He was just saying it with clear, concise feelings of a response that had people take ownership, for one. And, you know, to allow the universe to kind of help with the direction and the momentum.
Realizing, I think, that what you just said, where you are, where I am, is perfect right now.
Yeah.
Including the frustration that sometimes I feel, you know, and working, you know, going through, and I look at some of these chapters and I thought, was that in the book before? Because I don't quite remember that being in there. And it's like the script thing. I'm looking at that tonight and I'm going, it seems really important. And I should have picked up on that last time. I wrote a note to myself to write the script and I thought, man, I could have wrote that last. And so that's perfect. It's perfect.
So can I offer something to you?
Please.
Yeah. It's a great analogy. And I share this when I speak to people. Every time I make chocolate chip cookies, there might be a smidgen difference of something I do to make it taste different, but it's always perfect. Because it is what it is.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And somebody said to me a long, long time ago, we all need to be where we are in the moment because that's where we need to be.
But sometimes people don't have a clue what that means.
No, they don't. They don't.
And we've all been.
And it has been something I've been able to accept.
Well, you were still in the moment, even if you didn't know that's where you were. You were still in the moment.
Yeah.
You know, and so when you read something and you read it again and you read it again and you read it again, it's always going to fill you differently because you're growing.
Yeah.
So your level of intensity of listening shifts with as you grow.
And there's also some stuff that's either not relevant to you or that you're not spiritually ready to hear.
Absolutely.
Which is why, Tom, you look at the book and sometimes you think, well, gee, this must not have been written like this. It must have magically changed when it was sitting on my night table because
right.
I don't remember this. But the truth was is that you just weren't able to take it in where you were. And the fact that you're now taking it in and getting excited about it, doesn't that say something about your own spiritual growth?
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't it say that you've come a long way, baby?
Well, I think this also speaks to what Helen was talking to, which is, pick the book and keep working that. I mean, once you've decided on some level that that's the book that you're going to work on, where that book is the outlines the process, or and it resonates with you, then just work that, because going through it again, as we've been going through each week, I've had that same feeling, and I've heard other people write or on the list that, and I think Susan, you've mentioned this, is reading it several times, you get something different each time.
Well, this is a joke I have with my husband, who does not understand why I've had books that I've owned since I was a child that I still reread.
Right.
And he's like, God, what a waste of time. And I said, absolutely not. It is not a waste of time, because every time I reread it, I get something new out of it, and I grow from that process. And he thinks that's crazy, and it makes all the sense in the world to me. Well, then, which explains why I actually have books I've probably read 200 or 300 times, maybe more, and I'm still not, as far as I'm concerned, I'm not finished with them yet.
Well, this is one of those for me, that's for sure.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Well,
this is one of those things that's endlessly interesting, isn't it? Because it's about you, and you're endlessly evolving to a new place where you can use more of this.
Right.
I just remember when Bernie, my friend from England, who helped me found this list, she said to me, and she's the sweetest person you've ever known, just very calm and very sweet and very, you know, everything you can think of, all those words. She sent me an email and said, beg, borrow, or steal this. You have got to read this book now. And the whole weekend when I actually looked it up, before I could even get hold of the book, but when I actually looked it up on the Internet just to see what a little bit about what it was about, was just life-changing. I mean, I didn't stop going from website to website the whole weekend long.
Well, I'm curious as to, on page 138, sort of related to this, is this idea of when you get the lessons, you don't need the experiences. It's outlined, or the it's, the heading on it is cut through the pain. I'm
mm-hmm.
curious as to why he put that one in this section. Maybe it doesn't matter, but
Wait a minute. Oh, whoa. It does matter.
Okay.
So go to that spot and tell me why you don't feel like it didn't matter.
Why it was in this one?
Yeah.
Under the
you
section.
You started talking about it. You discounted it.
Well, because it seems like it's in the Nevelize Your Goal section, which is feeling what it is at a deep level and multi-sensory level. And this one is when you get the lessons, you don't need the experiences. So he writes, get in touch with it, realize the old beliefs and energy, and you can move toward creating what would serve you better and bring you more joy. So why would he put that one in here? I'm not discounting the lesson. Just curious as to what everyone else thinks about why it was in this particular section.
I'm sorry, I don't have the book in front of me. What particular section are we talking about?
The step four, the Nevelize Your Goal. That topic is within this section. That when you get the lesson, you don't need the experience.
Well, let's think about this, though. If you think about it, nebulizing is actually experiencing in advance, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's experiencing what you want to experience, consciously experiencing what you want to experience, and letting it feel natural to you so it can come to you. So now you're talking about, what he's talking about with the other things, of course, are experiences that I assume are primarily negative,
mm-hmm.
you know. And so what you've got is a situation where what he's really saying is you've got the future experiences that you're choosing to experience because you want to draw them to you. And once you actually learn the particular lesson that a bad experience is giving you, that's going to shake itself off and you're going to be out of it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think the two are actually very related.
It seems like that this is related back to the getting clear section.
I can see where you might think that.
Yeah.
I think it goes equally well in either place. But it's obviously important enough for him to say, wait, I'm not stopping. I'm not going to finish the book till I put this in because this is important.
Right.
And
right.
I think it is.
Oh, well, it absolutely makes sense to me that unless I am aware of what's happening in my life, that mm-hmm. it's likely that the lessons are going to continue, or in some cases, what I've experienced, they get stronger.
Mm-hmm.
Like the last employer I worked with, I felt like I stayed a year too long, and I all during that year I got these different messages and experiences, and they kept on getting stronger and stronger until I got okay. You know, I got it. All right. Yeah, time to go. Stay.
I want to ask a question here because this is something I've never confessed to anybody because it sounds so egotistical. I'd be afraid people would stop speaking to me. But I want to ask. No, really. As long as we're here and we're having this conversation, and I hope people will forgive me in advance, but I must ask the question. Have you ever had an experience that affected not just you but a number of other people? But you look at what the experience did for you, and you think to yourself, heck, God did that one just for me. Has anybody ever had that
yes,
feeling?
Give us an example.
Yes. Give me an
Can
example?
I say something?
Yeah, I'm just curious as to what I mean, do you have a particular example in mind?
Yes, I do, actually. When you were talking about your job, I was thinking about, I stayed at a job that I was actually very comfortable in, notice I said comfortable, mm-hmm. for 6 years. The truth was is that I was in a literary agency when I should have been off doing my own writing. Now, I learned an enormous amount, but most of what I learned was in the first 2 years, and I stayed an extra five, which included some very bad relationships and all kinds of stuff, which I look at it now and I think, you know, they were trying to tell me to get out. And I had other opportunities that I let go by the wayside during all this time so I could stay comfortable. And then at the end of that sixth year, just as we're literally coming up on 6 years, 3 days short of my 6 years being there, the company was bought by a corporate raider. This was back in the 80s, and everybody lost their jobs. And in the next few months, I said, well, I'm going to take all the money that I have, all this extra money, you know, my severance pay and all the other things I have, and I'm going to turn myself into a writer. And by God, within 6 months, I had my first book contract. But I could have done that a long time before, and I didn't do it because I was frightened. And I've often looked at this and thought, you know, I'm not so sure how everybody else ended up. I mean, I know how they ended up, but whether or not they're happy is kind of an issue, a personal issue. But I know that for me it was the beginning of a whole new life. And there are times I've actually wondered whether, you know, this wasn't really personally for my benefit. And that's why I know it sounded egotistical, but I had to ask the question whether anybody else had actually ever kind of experienced that sort of thing.
Well, my move was like that.
Go on.
I was justifying staying there.
Mm-hmm.
I was putting up. I was tolerating all of this. And then
it was horrible.
It was absolutely horrible to the point where I'd become a prisoner in my own home overnight. And all because people could do and say what they wanted to say.
Mm-hmm.
Look what I've moved out and moved on to. But that whole thing affected the whole owners of the 121 units in that block. I was fortunate that I could make a decision and up and move and not affect anybody else bar myself in the move.
Mm-hmm.
And look what I've moved on to. I've got this amazing peace and tranquility.
Well, I don't think anybody having read your posts before Christmas and now could possibly see anything that wasn't good in it, because you just sound luminous. You sound happier than I've ever heard you.
Thank you. Thank you.
And you're welcome.
Susan, you remind me of a friend of mine who was, we were talking about this idea of perfection, and but relating what happened in work and how that served you so well, it on a smaller scale, he was sharing with me his belief that when he was out with his wife going to a restaurant, pulled into the parking lot, parking lot's full. And then you see someone pulling out, and he says, "Beautiful," and he pulls right in. Well, his wife says, "Hey, I think there was someone waiting for that parking spot," and he says, "Oops," and he rolls down his window, and he starts to tell the person, "Hey, were you waiting, or you know, wanted to quickly ask them," and they just drove off.
Okay.
And then he walked in to the restaurant, he and his wife, and they were in the quarter, waiting for a table and whatnot. There was a line, and lo and behold, who walks in and is standing right next to him? And his wife said, "I think that's the woman who was waiting for that parking spot." And so my friends tried to have a dialogue, just say, "Hey, you know, I was going to give you that spot. You know, you didn't need to drive off. I apologize." And she just turned around and marched away. And what he realized is that, you know, he's got this belief that it's easy to find a parking space, that life doesn't have to be a struggle, and it's, you know, so on and so forth. And he is of the belief that, speculates that this person has probably a belief that there's a struggle, you know, involved. So here the universe just matches up people perfectly. You know, here's a person who wants to experience the struggle. Here's a person who wants to experience the ease. Well, just look at that. It works out perfectly.
Yeah. That's absolutely true. Then the universe is giving you absolutely what you expect it to give you.
Right.
Here's the thing. I think it depends. I mean, the paradigm that I live with is that, and this drives my sister crazy, by the way, my sister who's worked very hard for everything she's got, and she's doing very well, but it drives her insane that things fall into my lap. It just drives her insane. It just seems like I'm not doing anything, and, you know, I walk down the street and money falls on me, that kind of thing. And I told her about the attractor factor, and I said, it's about attracting what you want. And she thought about this, and she said, "Do I have to give up being what I am?" I said, "Of course you don't have to give that up." She said, "But I could have what you do?" And I said, "I think so." And she said, "Well, then I'm for that. I want to do that."
Hmm.
So I guess the thing is that maybe my paradigm is that the world is especially looking, or the universe is especially looking out for me. And if that's the case, then that's exactly what I'm getting.
It is.
Yeah.
I believe that that's what's actually happening, because you have made that decision.
Yeah, I've decided that I'm lucky, and that's all there is to it, and that's it.
Yeah.
Which, you know, so far it's worked for me. If it ever changes, I'll let you know, but so far it's working very well.
Right. Well, even if it doesn't, like, I have a friend who's a toy inventor, and we went up to the New York Toy Fair one year, and I guess it's in February, held every year.
Cool is that?
It was awesome.
An inventor.
Yeah, we went up and stayed in New York City, you know, downtown, and we're within walking distance of the Javits Center, which is a gigantic, just gigantic convention center.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Right.
And the place is just filled with people and companies that are involved with toys, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I went marching around New York City with my friend, and we had these. I've developed some toys and whatnot, and we went around and had meetings with different toy companies, and we had this big one, we thought, which was a great one, and we, you know, went up and we had the appointment. We got there, and guess what they said? Oh, can't do it, behind schedule, And they said, can we come back? No, can't come back. Schedule's too full. And I looked at my friend and I said, you know what this means? Something better is about to happen.
Ah.
And we got back in the elevator for the long ride down. And there's some people in the elevator. And you know that he and I are talking. And they said, hey, you know, on this floor, there's some other meetings. You guys ought to go over there. Because, you know, practically everybody in this building was having all these different meetings. And so we did. We just hopped out of the elevator on this floor at the, what these people said. Just so happens that these people suggested this. We walked out, walked up with no interview schedule. And we said, hey, we're two toy inventors, and we just missed a meeting upstairs for whatever reason. And we heard that, you know, you might be looking for some new ideas. And they said, well, as a matter of fact, it's funny that you two are here, because we've got an opening. Would you like to come in?
Oh, my God. It's amazing, isn't it?
It was really, I thought, you know, we looked at each other and we just kept on laughing. You know, it's, so I think that, that there again, it's just, we could have just said, oh, got really frustrated and got on the elevator and for the long ride down and just got so mad.
Well, I loved what you said. You know what this means? Something better. That is absolutely marvelous, because what it really was, not only were you recognizing it, but you were opening yourself up to the possibility of it. And I think without that, you would not have had people saying to you, oh, by the way, why don't you stop here?
Right.
I mean, don't you think that that's part of it? I think it is.
Oh, I absolutely do. And I think Joe mentions that in the book, where he was at lunch with somebody and someone was complaining about something, and then some other people said, well, what if you do this and this and this? And it was as if they didn't even hear it. I don't remember that in the book. It was right there, the answer, you know, and I think Joe had mentioned that, you know, he was struck by, wow, look at how fast the universe can work, and they paid no attention.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know what I keep thinking of? It's funny. Do you remember the stories, and this is quite some years ago, the stories about how Daniel Radcliffe got Harry Potter?
No.
They were looking for a kid. They were looking for him, couldn't find him. And finally, one night, the producer, I think, goes to the theater. And he sees a kid a few rows in front of him, and he thinks, my God, that's Harry Potter. And he goes up and starts talking to his parents, and it turns out the kid's been in other things. Yes, he is an actor. And they brought him in, and he got the part.
Right.
Wow. And it's just, you know, the point was, is they weren't looking for Harry Potter when they went to the theater. They were looking to relax. But the fact was, the universe presented them with the answer right there.
Yeah.
And they were open to it. I mean, imagine if he'd been there and they weren't open to it.
I think that this is the amazing dance that's going on. You know, the trying to figure it all out. That's the part that I always find. You know, when I sit at home and I think, how is this going to happen? How is this going to work out?
But you know something? The truth is, with all due respect,
yeah,
that's not your job, Tom.
I know.
That's the universe's job.
Exactly. And
I've finally gotten clear about that, because I was like one of the most controlling, I still am, one of the most controlling human beings in the history of the world. And I'm getting much better about saying, you know, that's not my problem. I'm not going to worry how it happens. I know it's going to happen.
Right.
So I'll just let the universe deal with it, because they're smarter than I am. And I must say, that's a big step forward for me. It may not seem so, but believe me, it's a really big step forward.
Mm. Well,
this sounds wonderful.
We're almost at the top of the hour.
Oh, my.
I know. In Malaysia,
wow.
Almost noon. Time for lunch, and for Susan and I, it's time to go to sleep here on the
Definitely.
East Coast.
Definitely. Well, this is a wonderful way to end the day. I just can't believe we're talking to Australia and Malaysia and Texas. I mean, this is very exciting stuff.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I love the fact that this is international.
Well, very exciting.
It's been a wonderful foundation for me.
Well,
I think you need to thank Tom for that. He's the one who decided he was going to do this.
Look, I'm just very grateful for Tom and for listening to the previous recordings. It's just been wonderful to do.
Oh, I'm glad, Helen, that you're listening. I mean, that makes me feel good that people are actually accessing those. So that's good. I'll have this recording up soon. And so next week, we're going to be talking about step five, the ultimate secret, and kind of working, I guess, out, there's some other sections of the book here that I'm sure we'll discuss. But step five is the final step, starting on page 149. So if someone's listening to this recording, our last call in this particular series is March 14th at 10 p.m. Eastern New York time zone, and the number is 712-432-3000, bridge number 187844. So I always like to end with what did you all get out of this call that was beneficial this time around?
This is the starting point, Tom. It's a foundation to build on.
Great. So how about you, Susan?
I'm so glad you're... Who, me?
Yeah.
Actually, every time I get off one of these calls, as tired as I was before, I always feel like I want to do several cartwheels and then just sit down and start setting intentions again. It's very exciting. It really is, because it means I'm not alone doing this, and I'm not, well, I may be a lunatic, but I've got a lot of lunatics who are with me doing this.
Yeah.
And we all seem to be happier than all the normal people, so I guess whatever we're doing, we should continue to do it. But I will tell you that my life since I read this book and started trying to do whatever it is Joe has been trying to show us has changed so dramatically for the better.
Mm.
It's night and day. It's unbelievable. I mean, I remember times last year when we had $7 in our bank account to last for 2 weeks, and I have two children. And it was not easy. And I'm looking at it now, and the money is just rolling in. The jobs are rolling in. My abilities and my opportunities are expanding constantly in ways I can't begin to imagine. And things are just wonderful, really.
Wow. There's a quotable quote for the for Joe's website. I should just somehow edit that one out and send it to him. Hey, here's an interview.
Yeah. I need to do that at some point. I do need to talk with him about how much he's done. But I will tell you also that one of the things I found most moving was when I put out a call to people on the Attractor Factor and whatever. I also put out a call to Joe. And Joe came through, I think, within one day with a donation for Colin's trip. And it occurred to me then how much humanity this man had, that it wasn't just, you know, lip service. It was about walking the talk. Mm-hmm. And it was very impressive, and I was very moved.
Mm.
So the first thing I did today when I got his email was buy a copy of his new book.
Oh, yes. That's right. His new book is out starting
today.
His new
book is out, and it's supposedly a companion to The Attractor Factor. So I'm pretty excited about that.
Awesome.
And along with that, I got another book by the Hickses, because the stuff that I've read of theirs is just so marvelous. And the prosperity game, which they, I guess, invented, I've been using it, and I swear to God, there's something about looking at a $900,000 check and saying, you know something, I've already got everything. Now, what am I going to do with this? That's really a wonderful feeling.
Wow. I got to research that. Is that on their website?
It's in their book, but you can go to, there's a link on the Attractor Factor Yahoo group list.
Okay.
That will let you download the Prosperity Game. It'll put it right on your desktop.
Mm-hmm.
And every time you turn the computer on, it will give you a check. And then you keep a running thing on what you spend and how did it make you feel. And all I can tell you is that I'm up to, I've already gone past $900,000. I'm actually up to the next, to starting the game all over again with $1,000. But it's amazing. All of a sudden, you look there and think, well, I've done everything. I've now funded my retirement and medical savings accounts and my kids' college, and I've given to tons of charities, and I've, you know, built a school in Indonesia, and I've blah, 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 blah. And it's really interesting to look at this and say, well, gee, I guess I'm going to just stick it in my money market account until I figure out what to do with it.
Wow.
Really amazing.
I'm going to go to that link.
Definitely. Go there, and because it's free to download. And then I think I would be very interested to know personally, when you start playing, what you think of it, what happens?
Didn't you send an email out back a couple of weeks ago on this?
I probably did, but I put the link on the website a long time ago, and a lot of people have talked about this game. I will tell you, I think it's probably the single greatest factor in changing things for me. I really believe that. So you might, you know, if you haven't already, please check it out. It's really, really worth playing, and it's fun. It really, really is. If your biggest problem during the day is how am I going to spend $1 million, then how many problems do you actually have? Let's think about this.
Yeah. Good.
And what's great about it is it gets you used to seeing a lot of money, and I think that makes a big difference. To seeing it and realizing it's yours, that really makes a difference. because I think it's made a very large difference in how I spend the money that's actually coming to me now.
Hmm. Well,
so, you know, feel free.
I appreciate everybody calling in tonight, and I'll put this recording up, and we'll see you next week at the same time. And Susan, thanks again for the work that you've done to create the group, and I'll send out an announcement. And if anybody else wants to announce on the Yahoo group about the call, please talk it up and see if we can get some more people next week.
I have a feeling a lot of people are going to join in. I hope that you'll let people know, Tom, that this is an ongoing thing.
Yes.
That next week is the last one for step five, but that this will be an ongoing process and we'll be continually discussing every step.
Yes. That sounds great.
Yeah.
Okay. Well,
thanks so much, and I've really enjoyed talking with you all. This is so fabulous to have you here.
Yeah.
Thank you. Yep.
Okay. Well,
thank you very much.
Good night, everybody.
See you next week. Good night, Tom. Thanks a lot.
Okay.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.